Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers. Lose the wizard hat. And ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
Welcome to another edition of No Readmittance, one per ticket holder, Geek Cave Podcast Movies. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad, reminding you that hippopotomonstrosesquipedaliophobia refers to the fear of long words.
Holy crap.
We are brought to you by Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today with great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of old school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or you're just weird, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. Also brought to you by Gamefly, with membership options for every budget, plus gifts for gamers of all ages. Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want. When you're done, just send it back with the postage paid envelope for a new one. Or keep it forever, pay a lot less than in-store prices. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com. Whoa, look like a pilot. Justin?
Nice. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is the distinct pleasure of the management to present to you the evening star attraction. Here they are, back from their exclusive 3-year tour of Europe, Scandinavia, and the subcontinent. Won't you welcome from Calumet City, Illinois, the show band of Joliet Jake and Elwood Blues, the Blues Brothers!
Pilot party! Pilot party!
Pilot party!
That was a journey.
Welcome to Pilot Party, where I review an entire TV series based only on the first episode. And why only the first episode? Because I put the popcorn in the microwave for 30 minutes instead of 3. As a result, my smoke detector went off and I evacuated the house. By the time the fire department determined the only issue was my cooking skills, it was time to go to bed.
Fair. Fair.
So, this is the year of Crunchyroll, where I am letting Crunchyroll pick what pilots I am reviewing. Mm-hmm. I am partying. This month's edition is Odd Taxi. ODDTAXI. Odd Taxi.
Okay.
At night, walrus taxi driver Hiroshi picks up a dwarf hippopotamus college student, Tashi, who posts a selfie with Hiroshi in hopes of going viral on social media. Momentarily, they are pulled over by identical twin meerkat cops, Kenshiro and Koshira. And they tell Hiroshi that they are looking for someone in particular. This is a Gelda baboon gangster by the name of Dobu. Hiroshi hasn't seen them, and they move on about their day. Hiroshi drops off Tashi, who accidentally leaves his cell phone in the taxi. The viral selfie post caught an image of Tobu in the background. At home, Hiroshi talks to someone living in his closet, but they do not respond. The next morning, Hiroshi visits a clinic to see the gorilla doctor, Goroki, and alpaca nurse, Miho. As Hiroshi approaches his taxi after the visit, Kenshiro confiscates the SD card from the dash cam, suspecting Hiroshi of kidnapping a high school girl in a string of missing people.
Mm.
Later in a downtown bar, a white-gibbon janitor, Eiji, lies about his annual income on a dating app. Kurogi and Katahari, a kangaroo and owner of the bar, begin a discussion and talk about Hiroshi. Soon, Goroki is alerted by phone that some of the medication from his clinic were stolen. Miho hitches a ride with Hiroshi, while Kenshiro gives the SD card to Dobu in exchange for a bribe. If you are confused, that's okay, because so was I.
I was about to say, is this Zootopia, but with extra steps?
Maybe.
Okay.
So, Odd Taxi is one of those weird shows where the opening theme music and cinematic is very happy and upbeat, but then suddenly, you know, gets poured on with all the darkness.
Tasty.
This would probably be served better if the characters were human, but they're all animals. So I guess that's the whimsy.
The whimsy.
It is a very well animated show, but it is very confusing to follow. And I was lost several times because a lot of things happen very quickly in the 20 to 30 minutes that the show is on. And it's... Yeah. And so now for my predictions.
Okay.
The credits will roll. We'll all go to bed feeling a little bit worse than
Shakira
when we...
Shakira will play the end credits.
Yeah. This has all the makings of a whodunit mystery. Missing people, gangsters, people hiding in closets, a walrus. It's got everything. As we go through and collect more clues, some implicate Hiroshi, some lead to Dobu. Twists and turns throughout keep the audience guessing until the final moment of the last episode. Turns out the girls aren't actually missing. Dobu has hired them to disappear as a distraction to steal medical supplies from hospitals and sell them on the black market. The girls are fine. They've been put up in a 5-star hotel a few towns over. They're teenagers. Of course, they're going to want to skip school, hang out with their friends, and have people pay for things for them. They are in no danger. The real twist comes with Hiroshi, the person in his closet. It's the real Hiroshi. Turns out his twin brother, Bill, is keeping him prisoner in his own house to fulfill his fantasy of being a taxi driver. Hiroshi's fate is left unknown.
Well, that's dark.
I give it 7 Bruce Springsteens out of 10.
Well, okay. Thank you for that.
Keep in mind, my rating scale is based on something that was referenced in the show.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Well, thank you for that, Justin.
You're welcome.
So I have a show that is also confusing to bring to you. There are a lot of shows that live in the memories of TV land. Some of them given new life, some relegated to the dustbins of history. This segment of the show asks you about one such forgotten piece of television lore and asks, should we review it? Is good. Then, the originals is good now. Reboot it, the idea is sound, but we can modernize it, capture some magic. Revive it, what are these characters doing now after a couple decades of growth and development? Or refuse it, das ist schlecht. So this one's before our time. Well, it isn't before our time, but it's certainly before our recollection. Now, this show that I'm about to describe for you is the stuff of forgotten lore.
Okay.
The year is 1983, September 30th, and the 90-minute movie to begin this new series airs. In this pilot movie, we learn a group of thieves are planning to hijack a shipment of nerve gas, and it's up to Detective Brooke McKenzie to stop them. Unfortunately, this is too much for one detective and the resources of the police department, so she turns to Dr. Jonathan Chase. Dr. Chase is a man of means. He's a man who has traveled the world with his missionary father. And eventually, he inherited his father's wealth, as well as his father's unique ability, taught to him in the mission fields of Africa, to unlock the mysteries that divide man from animal and animal from man. He is Manimal. Dr. Chase could turn himself into any animal, though a hawk and a black panther were the ones most often seen. He also, over the show's episodes, turned into a horse, a dolphin, a bear, a bull, and a snake. And if that seems like it's not a whole lot of animals, well, you're not wrong, because the 90-minute movie aired opposite Dallas. And a couple of weeks later, when the regular show started airing, it aired also opposite Dallas, which it did for 4 weeks before being put on hiatus. and all filming of new episodes stopped. A month later, the final three filmed episodes were aired, and with the exception of a crossover in 1998 with the show Nightman, Manimal hasn't been seen again.
Oh my God, there's a Nightman cinematic universe.
The show used practical effects for Dr. Chase's transformations that it was done in the 80s. It's more advanced than the ones used to create the Wolfman, and yet somehow less believable. It has the dubious distinction of being the subject of a nearly 9-minute segment on Late Night with David Letterman when it was put on hiatus for the first time, where Letterman tried very hard to find out, is this show ever coming back? After engaging a psychic, they discovered, no. You know where I stand on this. What do you guys think?
Do I know where you stand on this? Okay. Justin gestured towards me, yes, which is good because I don't have a lot of thoughts because I've never heard of this fucking show until just now. So,
yeah.
Here's... It's a two-pronged approach. I like the idea.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I don't know. I don't know if I need to see this. So the correct answer, at least for me, is nah, fam. I'm good. That's a no for me, dog.
I have seen this.
I'm sorry. I was hoping I was the only one.
many a summers with my grandparents who had satellite TV and access to many different things. I've seen Manimal. Das ist schlecht.
It is. It absolutely is.
Animorphs did it better.
Yeah, it did. So, yeah. Just go on YouTube and just find the transformation sequences to get an idea on why this is a refuse.
Is it anything like Altered Beast for the Sega Genesis?
I don't think I've played Altered Beast.
Okay, guy turns into like a werewolf at some point. The animation is literally like static image of him and then, you know, hairy a little bit and then wolf.
No. Okay. This is a transformation that takes somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 to 5 minutes.
Oh, Lord.
Of like intense 70s, 80s music.
Right. Is he screaming a lot?
No. Okay. He's just staring. If he was screaming, at least then something would be happening.
Okay.
Yeah. So, no, the transformation sequence that you're talking about is similar to the Lon Chaney Jr. Wolfman movie. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
40s. Still better.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
So, Trailer Park Roundup this month. All of these trailers were watched during the commercials of that football game that was played a week after the Pro Bowl.
Oh, the Superb Owl.
Oh, Large Basin 58.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Kung Fu Panda 4, it's still Jack Black being Jack Black. It'll probably be good once. Yeah. Despicable Me 4, I have no idea. It was a commercial to find the trailer online. Deadpool 4, just kidding. I meant 3. I have no idea. It was just a commercial for a trailer that I would have to go online to see.
I've seen the trailer.
The trailer's fine.
Trailer's good. It's good.
Yeah. A Quiet Place Day One. You know, that sure is a lot of noise for a movie called A Quiet Place. Yeah,
that's the first day.
Wicked. Well, there's no Adele Dazeem, but the music sounds pretty decent.
That's a deep pull.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I'm not going to put this down. I kind of like all these movies. They are not great cinema, but they are great entertainment. Twisters. Is it a remake? A reboot?
It's a sequel.
A sequel?
Yeah.
It is a standalone sequel.
I don't know. And I'm not sure I care.
I had to look it up.
The original Twister was a good movie once.
Yes.
I mean, this movie may also be a good movie once.
It's a no for me.
IF. Imaginary Friends. Man, we haven't seen an Imaginary Friends movie since Drop Dead Fred. Everyone remembers Drop Dead Fred, right?
I do.
Yeah. No? Gee, I wonder if this one will have the same staying power.
To be fair, this one is spearheaded by John Krasinski.
Yeah.
And stars Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. So it's got more attractive leads in it.
Yes.
Yeah. Monkey Man. Dev Patel's directing a movie that looks horrifically violent. Like, mm-hmm. I'm wondering if somebody killed this guy's dog. You know, that his wife got him after... you know, after her death, and like it was delivered, he doesn't want it, but he starts bonding with it, and then suddenly it's dead, and he's going to go on a rampage. It's that kind of violent.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, will it be good? I don't know, because later on when I watch the full trailer, it's also got like comedic elements where you think it's really going to be, you know, serious all the time, and then he can't throw himself out a window.
Okay. So.
All right, so that's what that is. Darren, you said that there was a question.
Yes, one of the reasons you should join our Discord is you get to ask us questions, and we are contractually obligated to answer them. So this one is, hey guys, what is your favorite bad video game movie? Because we've had some good ones like Sonic and the Super Mario Brothers. So what is your favorite bad video game movie?
Now, Street Fighter.
I was going to say a bad
movie. It was in quotes.
A bad movie based on a video game or a movie based on a bad video game?
He just said, what's your favorite bad video game movie? I was thinking of like the most recent Tomb Raider one. A lot of people thought it was bad. I thought it was pretty good. The question asker specifically called out Prince of Persia, the Disney take on Prince of Persia, which I don't remember if I saw. I think I did.
Starred Jake Gyllenhaal, didn't it?
Yeah.
And Ben Kingsley. Like, and, it had way too much star power to be that not coherent.
Yeah. But like, I really liked Alicia Vikander's Tomb Raider. I wish that she got another crack at it. I don't think she will.
It's kind of a toss-up between Street Fighter and Super Mario Brothers, the movie.
Do you remember Double Dragon?
I never saw Double
Dragon. The
Dragon.
Oh, man,
Double the
you
fun.
Should so watch Double Dragon. It is so bad.
It's very bad.
It is comically bad. Like, it falls into that realm of funny bad that Super Mario Brothers didn't quite make.
Put it on the list.
Like, it's just, I don't know if we can find it anywhere. Like, it's one of those that it, I don't know that it ever made it to DVD.
It can go it on the might, list.
It might have made it to VHS once.
The power
it,
of the geek
and then
cave.
Somebody had a better idea
it's on,
for
it'll
that.
It'll be on YouTube. Everything's
tape.
On YouTube.
Look, it's on the podcast now, so like someone out there is going to...
We've spoken it into existence.
We've done it before.
We'll find it.
Someone will send us a Laserdisc copy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but then we'll have to find a Laserdisc player.
Please, don't you have one?
I thought I did.
Ooh.
Please don't send us a Laserdisc.
Or do. I've got... Hey... In my house, I have a Laserdisc copy of Lethal Weapon 2, The Hunt for Red October, and Bambi.
Well,
why? Because my grandpa thought Laserdiscs were the next big thing.
I used to have a Betamax. I get it. So
he had one of those too.
Yeah,
Leonard Nimoy did.
Oh, and Star Wars, the original Star Wars.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's worth cool. some money too. Yeah. So
because it's the theatrical version.
All right, so reach out to us and we'll get you a mailing address or something.
So. Yeah, so, but Street Fighter, I love Street Fighter.
It's so
Raul
bad.
Raul Julia in that
my
role.
God, yes.
And it's so overdone. It is. That was when I was watching TV one night with my dad, and they were doing a report on Foley artists.
Yeah.
Like, and describing, and they used a scene from Street Fighter to demonstrate that.
Nice.
So that scene when they're all in the conference room and the guy jumps up on the table to kill Jean-Claude Van Damme's character.
Yeah. Guile,
yeah. And he spins around and kicks him. And they do that with a stick and some celery.
Yep.
It was neat.
Yep.
All right. So into reviews, Willy's Wonderland. All right. Take one of the strangest actors in Hollywood with one of the strangest careers in Hollywood and pitch him the idea that he's going to play a silent character set to clean a defunct children's party restaurant that has a bunch of cannibal-possessed animatronics.
It's on my list.
So he'll probably say no. But if you ask Nick Cage the same question, it comes back with a resounding yes. And we get a riff on Five Nights at Freddy's. That's a power fantasy instead, where all the bad guys get what's coming to them.
Good.
Now, other than one scene where they do the strobe light effect, which means you got to have other lights on in the room, this is not too hard to watch. You know, there's not a ton of gore. Be aware, I was watching it on Freevee, so that there was a ton of commercials. But other than the necessary teenage death scenes... that aren't super gory. I mean, there's some blood spatter, but most of the splatter is all grease and oil from a bunch of animatronic.
Yeah, this is on my list of things to watch. I think it might be on Hulu, and it's on my watch list.
I mean, it's it's not going to get a repeat watching from me like a lot of repeats.
Yeah,
but it was worth my time once, and I'm giving it an A. I mean, it was entertaining consistently.
Nice.
Through Ford v Ferrari. Because if we're going to do something fun like Willy's Wonderland, let's do something fun that's completely different.
Yeah.
Ford v Ferrari is a dramatized story of Ford's eventual win over Ferrari at Le Mans, mm-hmm. starring Matt Damon, Christian Bale. It's pretty decent as far as these movies go. I mean, they get a little bit too much into the sentimentality of it all, but overall, it's well acted, well paced, well shot, A minus. It's a decent slice of history there. And then there's Gas Pump Girls. So
go on.
So while I'm working, I like to have a show on for sound in the background.
Yeah.
And Tubi was willing to play Gas Pump Girls from 1979. So June and her friends take over a gas station when June's uncle has a heart attack. All right. But because of their good business sense, marketing, and willingness to trade sex appeal for customers, they are targeted by the gas station across the street. Hijinks follow. Don't watch it at work. I had to turn it off and finish it at home. Other than that, it's a solid 70s teen sex comedy. It's a B-plus movie.
Okay.
And shouldn't be thought of as more than that.
All right.
Any other reviews?
None that I can.
I've got one thing.
Yeah, what do you got?
And now it is time for Darren's Trivial Trivia.
All right, so... Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the one with Gene Wilder.
Right, the good one.
Everyone knows that one. So that scene where
that's Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory.
My bad, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Look, there have been like three Wonka films at this point. It's
well,
hard
yeah,
to
but
keep
there's
track.
Willy
Charlie
Wonka
and the Chocolate Factory was Johnny Depp. I get
yes.
it. Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka had the good Willy.
Yeah.
Charlie had
the good
Charlie. Wonka had Timothy Chalamet for some reason.
The Gene Wilder one.
Excellent.
Yes. So where he enters with a cane. And he's hobbling, and then he does that surprise somersault and all
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
was all his idea.
Mm-hmm.
Entirely his idea. That way, he said no one would know if he was lying or telling the truth for the rest of the film.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
I love Gene Wilder.
All right. Well, all right, Kent.
Oh, the lights are down low. Mm, the popcorn is hot. Mm, the drinks are cold. Settle in for the cinematic universe of Chad's Random Movie Review.
Oh man, the trepidation.
By the roll of the dice, next month I get to review Monk Comes Down the Mountain. This week,
starring Tony Shalhoub?
I don't know. This week, I watched a movie that did a lot of things pretty well, and I still didn't like it. So, there is a German concept called Fremdschämen. It means embarrassment at the action or words of another. Secondhand embarrassment. Basically, I'm embarrassed because you don't have the sense to be. Welcome to But I'm a Cheerleader.
I forgot you were doing this one.
So the short version of this whole movie. I'm going to get a whole movie, short version. Megan's a cheerleader that doesn't like kissing her boyfriend. Combine that with her vegetarianism. Get it? Because she doesn't like meat.
Yeah.
And a Melissa Etheridge poster make her parents think that she's gay and send her to a conversion therapy camp. Not a great setup. While there, she meets others, accepts her sexuality, gets disowned, gets her girlfriend back, and then the credits roll. I'm going to start by saying this is not a comfortable movie to watch. It's not. I'm Christian. I don't hide the fact that I'm Christian. And I suffer from Fremdschämen whenever the Christians are on the screen. I wasn't a big fan of the movie anyway. I don't like the utter judgment that pervades every aspect of the movie. I don't like the John Waters-inspired color palette. I don't like that the movie ends with the most uninspired cheer since the apathetics team faced the indifference. So... my spouse doesn't like The West Wing because we get enough politics that she doesn't want to watch more of it for entertainment. I guess I see enough judgment in my line of work and in the world. I don't need or want to see any more of it. That being said, here's the things they got right. diverse cast of sexes and races. It does a good job of universalizing the plot. Pacing of discovery for the cheerleader, it's realistic. The fake cheerfulness of the lady in charge of the camp, played by the same lady who played Kerrigan in Casper, Kathy Moriarty.
Yeah.
It's spot on. It was nice seeing Rufio in something since he got stabbed by Hook, you know, and the connection between the actors was well done. So I'm all good with that. There are good things there. The film, however, was written by Brian Peterson. He said he wanted to make a film that would not only entertain people, but also anger them and encourage them to talk about the issues it raised. Well, good job, buddy.
Oh, boy.
Because I'm not going into a whole bunch of it.
Yeah.
I was angry throughout it but I'm not going to talk about the issues here because the issues are all political and we stay away from those. But treating people like a set of behaviors that has to be dictated to make them normal is not something that I can abide by. And that's the basis of the movie, is that everyone is nothing more than a set of behaviors. If you correct the behaviors, you correct the person. And I just can't get on it. I can't stand it. All right. And yeah, nobody is convincing me that any of these 20 somethings are 17 in this movie. So it's not terrible. It's just not good, and it's not fun, and it might have something important to say, but if that's the case in this realm, watch it with a study group, watch it with a discussion group, watch it with a group of people who the intent is to talk about it, you know, because otherwise there's no good reason to sit in your living room and turn this on other than a title, you know, because the title is the funniest part of this movie. That and the name of the gay bar they go to, which is called Cocksuckers.
Okay.
And it's nice to see Richard Mole, you know, as an ex-ex-gay.
Ex-ex-gay.
Yeah, he was a graduate of the conversion thing that, you know.
He went back. Okay.
So, I didn't like it enough to recommend it. There's stuff there, but ultimately this one's a don't be like me.
Okay.
It's just a don't be like me. I wanted to like it more than I did. But I didn't.
And that's fair. I saw this in the 90s.
Well, it came out in 99.
When it was released. And so in the back of my mind, I have this fond memory of, oh yeah, it's a good movie. I've not seen it since I saw it.
It's been 25 years.
Yeah.
You've grown.
I would hope the movie hasn't. I would hope. Yeah.
So with no other business. Thanks to our sponsors, Shirtosaurus and Gamefly. Check out news and reviews not on the podcast on the website, geekcavepodcast.com. Join the Discord for fun conversation. Tell your friends all about where to find us, Podbean, Apple Podcast, Amazon Good Pod, and so forth. Don't forget to check out our other offerings, including You Want Me to Watch What in the Week 3. Head over to YouTube channel to see Geek Cave Plays and Retromantics. So for Kent Harris, our Huey in red, for Darren Wright, our Dewey in blue, for Justin White, our Louie in green, I'm Chad Savage, our Webby Vanderquack in a pretty pink bow. Thank you for listening, and remember, everyone is a geek for something.